Welcome, Rati Adiputri, who is a senior researcher, has been doing many different positions in our university, University of Jyväskylä, also university lectureships, and has a kind of an interdisciplinary research background, which she will introduce herself more. But today she will talk about the Finnish education through the lens of the East Asian eyes or lenses or perspective. You're welcome, Adit.
Thank you very much, Heidi. And thank you all for coming. I know it's a bit a tough time for those residing in Southeast Asia, which is the time for breaking the fast and everything. But let me share you my screen. I will start my screen now. And hopefully now you will see it. Oops, yes. Yes, I hope you see it. So yeah, we are starting this CRITET group, our research group together, but then I like the idea that we try to combine the interdisciplinary research here. Me, myself, I'm Rati Adiputri. I'm actually, my background is from political science, but since I'm doing also with the development and also education, writing about this book, I will tell you about it later. I try to combine this all. And now I'm also in research project about the UN and sustainability, and also about palm oil and development. So it's really all over the place, I should say. But yeah, but now I want to talk about this positive reception of Finnish education system in Southeast Asia. So maybe I will give you some kind of, I won't talk much, maybe just maximum half an hour. I will have just 20 slides here. So this is the outline that I want to talk about, the background, why we discuss about this. And apparently the Finnish education system and its positive perception, at least in Southeast Asia. And now we also want to discuss more about these challenges of the Global South education. It's probably also related to challenges of Global South development in a way, whether it's following the West, it is sustainable for the local education. How about the danger of post-colonial perspective? This is what we want to discuss more. And then, of course, how do we need to approach such challenges? I don't have any answer myself, but maybe we can think about it further later. And yeah, so the background. Here I am. I'm just some kind of, I don't know, for fun, or every time I come back to Indonesia, they know I live in Finland. They always ask about how Finnish education system. So instead of this many questions, let's jadi just write.
Mau oh, dimakan tidur itu so. Kalau udah kenyang ya udah.
Yeah, maybe you can unmute first. Okay, sorry. So yeah, this book, the first book and the second book, everybody will ask about how is Finnish education, how is Finnish education system. So let's just write about it. And yeah, but as soon as I write it, it becomes booming in a way that many people invited me to talk to the Instagram live discussion in social media. Then I have also podcast education been asked to have this podcast and also becoming a keynote speaker for education in Indonesia. So this is about it. And even the Instagram discussion is becoming until 39 episode that I also discuss about Teach Like Finland, also another book about Finland that is really famous in Indonesia. So just a little bit background that the book one, this is some kind of Finnish education system from the view of Indonesian in a way. So the in the picture there is the first edition when it was published in 2019. And then I also write the digest of this book in this article in 2021. You can see in my website that I can also share the link to this article. And so the book is published in December 2019 and then changed cover in 2022. And now it's fifth edition. So it's really quite popular that probably about 8,000 to 10,000 books out there in Indonesia and also actually popular in Malaysia and Brunei Darussalam, because I've been asked by Malaysian colleague to talk about this, and also some of the people who read the book contact me through social media from Brunei Darussalam. So they are also reading in Indonesian language. So this is the book based on my family experience as Indonesian educated in the Finnish education system. I have two kids, so they are coming. My first daughter is coming when she was in kindergarten. So it's really like how we get through this Finnish education. And of course, me being raised by, in Indonesian system, just so totally different. This is the thing that I think kind of it's nice to share. It's not really different now from Indonesian education until today after 30, 40 years. But maybe they're also the most interesting as well. There's a lot of picture tables and personal story of for us to reflect. So this is make many readers relatable, because it's like their struggle as a parent to deal with the children in studying. So the content is this general info, how is the teacher position, how is the weather, also the PISA test, the famous PISA test, and in every level of education, early education, primary school, high school, higher education, like also my experience as an Indonesian getting through these doctoral studies in a way, and also adult education. So some kind of these challenges, for example, the fasting month in Finland or something like that. So that's why it's quite popular. And the second book, it's also, I read it, this is, I think, the base of our discussion today, actually, that this is about how to teach in a way. Then the article is written by me and my teacher in YAM, University of Yogyakarta Applied Sciences, Ayla Birds. And the book itself, it's been published in 2023, so it's last year, but now it's already third edition as well. So this is also my personal experience taking a course in professional teacher education in digital era in 2022-2021. So I also finished this 60 credit education. And again, this is inside, there is this picture, stable reflection, and how to teach in a way. So the content is mostly also introduction, what, how, reflection. It's kind of bit is easy and simple way to follow when it becoming the teacher's sort of guidebook nowadays, they said, like many readers say like that. So yeah, this is the program in YAM that I joined, this International Professional Teacher Education, that it completely changed my perspective, because I thought it's just, you know, another pedagogical course that I took from university, but it turned out to be like my reflection to be what kind of teacher I am. So it's really, really nice reflection, at least in personal view. Now I just want to mention as well, try some kind of comparing education in Southeast Asian system, at least also in Indonesia, education emphasis on ranking, competition, and hierarchy. And you can see that from the left picture here, that those who are like clever, smart, and always be number one is always been highlighted, not others. But when I feel it here in Finnish system, everybody is number one, even though you are good in language, you are good in sport, you are good in handicraft, you are good. So that's really like heartwarming for me that, you know, you're being acknowledged, even though probably you already know me as some kind of minority in a way. I don't speak Finnish, and my kids going to the Finnish school at that time is kind of bit, how can I help my children, for example, but it's also being helped by the school. Right. So yeah, now we come to the Finnish education system and its positive perception. Indeed, Finnish education system is positively accepted. Well, just the result, like books about Finland is always sold better. And not only in my book, but also there is this book, Teach Like Finland or something. It's already been republished more than 10 reprinted. So it's always something. And at first, of course, Finland is known for this ranking in PISA test, but later on, at least from my point of view, it show how the humanistic way of education and how students learn according to their needs. So we see the small data in the class, not just like how many score, how many like rank this, rank that. So it's just like how the student cope in a small environment, things like that. And then of course, I also see that what government do, like well, not to do, but just some kind of collaboration at the local level. At least what I know is when the children comes, they have this, you know, health checkup, teeth checkup, eye checkup, you know, every 2-3 years. So which is like really, really good. And I really don't need to worry about school fee. There is no school fee. And also the books, so and everything is really nice to have that. And I didn't face like that in Indonesia, of course, in my education before. We need to come to the best school, we need to compete, we need to pass the test to enter that such certain school. So it's really, really different environment. But then also the goal is really seen that you want to educate and to have a responsible citizen and that learned society. So this is something that I'm sort of like admire in a way. But then coming to the book, the teacher in society as well, in Finland, it is respected in society. So we have enough salary, the position is being acknowledged. And I also learned about this foundation of teaching, facilitated learning, creating the future, and develop teacher identity. This is what I didn't know as well. I think teacher is just facilitating learning. We don't care about others. But then I was like, oh yeah, it's correct actually. But then I just don't realize it. This is something that my trajectory as well, that I learned a lot from this program. So I thought that I want to share it with the reader from the book. So this is that I some kind of cope how to deal with this and how to find your own way, reflection and your future orientation. Things like that. So it's really nice that I face this kind of a challenges, so I can share it what kind of challenges that I face. So in the lesson learned, that I also mentioned it in a book, that in Indonesia most teachers cannot swim, but they must teach students how to swim, whereas in Finland students learn from the swimming expert. So you can see the different comparison, which is highlighted the paradoxical situation of Indonesian teaching, that while it is tragic, there is a sense of admiration to teach in Indonesia. So this is what I get, that, you know, I hear from many teachers in Indonesia saying this, like how to change this, that, but then of course they think about to change the whole country. Of course not. You just need to change your behavior in your classroom, in your school, like your small environment, for example. But as we know as well, that probably we realize, even in GLOSSNET event, SDG4 seminar, most our Finnish colleague doesn't really appreciate Finnish education system. Actually, I was one stated, oh, that is some kind of Finnish education lover, which think that I always agree what Finnish education does, which is not really like that. But you know, just please let me finish with it, at least in this book, that Heidi shared with me, that how the Finnish education is set, not really that good, actually. There is this words and all of Finnish education problem. It is over celebratory, excluding with the PISA test, for example, like this is not happening anymore, you know, things like that. And challenges actually is a bit similar. At least from this book, I learned that how it's kind of a struggle to teach minorities, this sustainability issue, ecological issue, how to preserve local culture, like the Sami language, and all of those things, that is other disappearing language, gender studies, teachers' law, expectation, equity and inequality, things like that. But the level is different. This is the thing that, you know, in a way that maybe in the Finnish colleague, they're not really appreciate the Finnish education system, because they are zoomed in to the core of the issue, like of course, for example, like now sustainability issue, global education, how, you know, it's going to be critical toward the Finnish education export, for example. But what I said here, that I can compare it to Indonesian or Southeast Asian perspective, is we are not even come to this level yet. You know, if people who can get to the good education, a good quality school, for example, is those who only have money, how can other, like more society being educated then, you know, sort of like basic one. I didn't have this feeling that we need to go to through the health support, psychological support, how we have this handicraft, music, theater in here. Now, even worse, education system, at least Indonesia now, we need to only choose one between this art, music, sport, or music. So it's like really, really a shame that we are thinking about, you know, English, mathematics to be really to have a good grades, but not really thinking about our own local language, for example. But and also, of course, I realize about this. There's critique around Finnish education that, yeah, revolve around PISA test that Finland's ranking is not high anymore. But of course, if we to be fair, even though it's not high anymore, but it's still higher from the OECD average. And I also there is this mentioning in the book that PISA test is tyranny of international horse race. And I also discussed with Heidi a long time ago that it's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have this kind of PISA test, which is true. But then also Finnish education system export that actually sort of like being copied to many countries, like now one of the picture in Qatar, for example. But then again, it's private school rather than public. So those who have money can enter this kind of school. And also it mentioned in the book that the innovation, for example, how to find the education, a global innovation in education in Finland by 100 organization, but then it is created by private companies and entrepreneur, not teacher at school. So it's not really actually happen. So, I mean, that if we zoom to this kind of specific issue in the Finnish education system, yes, we find problems. But then in overall, what we see in overall that everybody, I think some of the participants later on can also witness that when we see the facilities, for example, coming to the Finnish school, it's totally different that we have this handicraft room, have this even sport hall, even, you know, theater and things like that. It's really, really different. Also the cafe, for example, the warm meal for the students. So it's really, really different. So yeah, now the challenges that we face in the Global South education. I think it's sort of like what I want to discuss with you guys. And this is the thing, I think our research group mentioned and gathering here that we need to have this critical thinking. What is it then in what happened in our society and how can we overcome that? Maybe not just discussing, and we try to think about it critically. That there is the challenges of Global South education and also probably in development. And what in the Global South thing that we should really follow what happened in the Western part in order to be able to become high income country, for example. But then again, at least when we see it in the PISA test, is it really necessary to have this ranking, like, you know, 193 country being ranked? Of course there is number one and there is number like below, but it's kind of a bit overwhelming. And of course for most in Southeast Asia, and we also know from the Singapore experience, they are really trained to come to overcome the problems in the PISA test so they can get the higher ranking. So there is some kind of ways from the East Asian country, which is followed by Southeast Asia country, that I know some of the teacher mentioned it to me. Yes, we are practicing the test of PISA so we can get a better ranking, which is really sad in a way. So this is also the thing that should we really following the West sustainable for local education? Is it really what we are aiming to do? So we don't know, but it seems that the gap is always there, that if not following this kind of type of education, then it's always been like behind. But is there any danger of post-colonial perspective? What I'm thinking about this colonial perspective is sort of like viewing that Western model is always superior than the local ones. So this is something that we call it some kind of mate mentality or colonial mentality, that we think that if you speak English, you are educated. If you, I mean, For example, me, because I'm now living in Indonesia, my statement is much more convinced because I'm living in Finland. But if I'm just like a regular teacher in Indonesia, I won't be heard at all. Actually, when I'm dealing with, I'm sort of mentioning about aspect in the book, for example, about peace education, some of the organizer also asked, oh, Rati, can you connect it us to the Finnish teacher? So they really want to have really Western based teacher giving a presentation about Finnish education system rather than me, which is like really funny, but it's happened like that. So there is this kind of this mentality that the local one is always been inferior towards the Western one. And again, if we discuss something with the link, something with the development is also the same. Now when there's this stick of, you know, sustainability and environment sustainability that now all of these global South states try to catch up, they are sort of been, you know, discriminated in a way that, oh, is this environment another stick from the Western to put us to halt our education, our development, economic development. So this is something what happened, and I want us to think about it. And so what to do? Why this dichotomy between global South and global North is always happen in education, in development, and now when we're discussing about Finnish education system, it's always like that. We always think that Finnish education system is better or even the best compared to our own in Southeast Asia. So what Indonesians see from the Finnish education is sort of like the same as I mentioned it before. It is the fact. It is the fact, and it's info about Finland and especially about its education is marketable. I mean, it can be shown, at least my book has been reprinted many times because they're just so admire what happened there. Can we copy it? Can we copy this? Can we do this in our country? So it's sort of like sad in a way, but I mean, striving toward the better one, of course, is always good, even though not necessarily from Finland, but you know, they just need to appreciate what happened first in what kind of values what they have in their own school or their own country, then they can compare and make it better. And then here, at least, I know that school are actually work and appreciate it. I'm the one who loves to read books, for example. And here, library is just amazing. Library collection is just amazing. Even if there is a book not available, I can always ask for the some kind of this interlibrary loan or even ask the library to buy a book for me, which is amazing. So that kind of thing, all of this facility available here is just amazing. And every time I come to the teacher from Indonesia, want to see the school, like North Sea, even my kids' school, for example, they are so stunned, which is I know it because I also feel like that before, like seeing the book. It's good book and it's for free. Coming to of the like really classes, having this, you know, typical classroom in the in Finland school, in Finnish school, it's this, you know, books and facilities, all of this computer and, you know, all of that is really hard. And actually I come to the to like really like remote school in Kangasniemi in Lauka once I was invited. And it's like a home, like really home school in a way, but still there is this workable, like there is a big room as a hall for them to listen. And there is this hall becoming lunchtime dining room. So it's sort of like workable in a way. So, and there is this kind of sense that the teacher is not working alone. It's also working with the local government, and also there is the CEO, or not CEO, the NGO, local NGO working together. That's collaboration that I always appreciate. The teacher facilities, collaboration, even between teacher education, municipality, state, and society are really available. And this is not what I've seen in Indonesia, at least. And of course, again, also health support and library facilities. I really appreciate that. You know, I think both of my kids coming to this health checkup on the first grade, third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, right? Also, some kind of updating their vaccination, for example. It is something that I don't I don't find in our country. And also, of course, this what is it, economic lesson, for example. I was so stunned to have like, okay, the kids at on the second grade, they learn how to cook, how to clean, how to wash clothes. Like, oh my God, it's so amazing. Of course, all of my Finnish colleagues here, if not the school teaching them that, who is going to teach them? Not me. I'm busy. I'm a teacher. I'm a parent, but it's not my job. So that kind of thing, that's, oh, okay. It's just totally different from our perspective in a way. So if most of my Finnish colleagues seeing it that way, that is not happening in Indonesia, not happening. I know it's not happening also in Malaysia. They will be stunned that, you know, that small thing is really appreciated. And of course, there is also education union, like union trade. Like here, it's really workable, and it's some part of it's being discussed in the book as well. Yes, and here, maybe we should teach students this topic instead nowadays, because this is actually what we have it in our country, but we just ditch this because, oh, having this IT and, you know, digital thing is much more fascinating than how to grow food. And especially in Indonesia, we have the proverb that whatever stick you throw up to the ground, it will come to be a tree. So it's kind of a bit amazing there, right? You just pop up any seed of potato, not potato, like what is it, orange or papaya or something, it will grow. So that's something. But then because that is some kind of daily life, it's not being appreciated. But I think that like how to grow food, how to composting and seed saving nowadays, that becoming more and more, I hear more in Europe, for example, like tempeh. Everybody love tempeh. I know that I have 3 seasons of how to cook tempeh, at least only in Jyväskylä, to teach my friend that how to deal with tempeh, because it's our daily food. But of course, in Indonesia, come on, it's just like everyday food. Everybody will not really appreciate this tempeh. So how this perspective is totally different from Indonesian and from Finland in a way. And we have this kind of thing already, like food preservation. We have this to make, if there is the season of mango, we make mango pickles, we make mango this, we make mango that. So it's really nice, but we don't really think that it's part of the culture that is really good, but it also can be taught in education, like how to preserve food, right? So medical herb, you can just pick up in our yard, things like that, that, you know, this is probably needs to be encouraged later on to the countries like in Southeast Asia, and also probably in Africa, that how this can overcome food security even, right? So that also water conservation nowadays, we see that how it's always being flooding every time it's in rainy season. So this is the thing that I try to advocate to many Indonesian, that we should really appreciate what we have in our own country. So yeah, to conclude, I think Finnish education is as an inspiration. So you can also see this, try to link to this book, The Kicking Away the Ladder, that how like what the high income country did before, it's not the same that when the global south country wants to do the same, it's not coming. It's always been, you know, it's being wrong that you are endangering the environment, for example. But I guess for me at least, I also want to advocate in this book that Finnish education is an inspiration, of course, at first from PISA test, but also to show that ranking is not everything, but how the primary school should offer basic education and customize to the needs of children and students. So the basic education, at least for me, like opening all of the opportunity for the children to learn, oh, this is how Henry Cuff feeling. Oh, this is how we appreciate music, even local music. Like in Indonesia, there are so many music instruments from bamboo, for example. And also like theater, like music again, like Henry, many, many things that now in Indonesia, only you need to choose one because it's not really appreciated at all, this art and drawing and everything. Also, there is this idea of no PISA test, And I don't know whether this is probably against OECD, against the high income country, but not towards the Finnish education per se, because if we read the history of this PISA, how the Finnish Finland wants to overcome this PISA ranking, they also some kind of this idea to change their education before, but then when they are ranking one in the first PISA test, they were also stunned, like, so we are doing great anyway after all. So this is something that, you know, Finnish should be proud that this is, you own it, like this is the ownership of Finnish education, that you have it from the beginning, and it's worked from 1960. So it's not really like just come right away in one night, but there is some kind of series, you know, overcoming all of these different, you know, private and public school, and how to overcome the curriculum, the different curriculum, how to, you know, have this teacher education system until the master level coming, not only training, you know, things like that. It's get through all of this series of years. So this is, I think, that we can, you know, some kind of give aspiration for other country to do this, but only in the own culture every each state. And again, for Southeast Asia, probably issue of back to nature and preserve the environment is actually part of the local ethnic group. And this is actually sustainability in practice. But then how to give this ownership to them, like your local culture is enough, is good enough that you can be proud about it. This is, I think, that I want sort of like inspire them, even still using the Finnish education system, but in a way that is something that we can develop in Indonesia or in Southeast Asia, that we can have a better education system than now. Yes, I think that's all. This is just advertising for all my book again. I'm sorry. And yeah, thank you very much.